Let's go to line number one right now. Standing by is Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me back. How's everything going this holiday shortened week?
Yeah, it's really weird in the middle of the week, but I'll tell you one thing. The heat is amazing. I guess it's going to cool off a little bit, but I feel for the workers, and there's a lot of construction going on outside in the state of Ohio, and, you know, they have to have all their protective gear because it's safety first, but my hat's off to everyone who is involved in the building trades, and I know you're the same way, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's been a lot of high temperatures, a lot of high humidity. I know the real feel Tuesday here in Central Ohio was about 106.
Wow.
You can imagine some of those young men and young women out there, you know, working heavy highway, building the buildings, you know, and stuff like that. The heat is definitely intense, and it makes for some tough conditions, you know. So it's been really hot. But, yeah, you're right. We're supposed to get a cool off this weekend, so that'll be nice. That'll be nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's been good pool weather for the 4th of July and good barbecue weather, though.
Amen to that. Nothing wrong. A nice cold brew will change everything.
That's right. Changes your outlook on everything. That's
you got
exactly
it.
Right.
You got it. Okay, let's get into the Janus decision. You heard what I was talking about regarding the Public Service Freedom to Negotiate Act. We've got to do something to make sure that workers in the public sector are protected. And I guess you are not alone. We've had a number of individuals on since the Janus decision came out last week, and everybody was bracing for a 5-4 decision to go against workers. I imagine you're in that same camp, right, Dorsey?
Yeah, I think that, and you know, I've been talking about this for almost 2 years now. I think after the election of President Trump, I think that it was a given that when he got to appoint that ninth Supreme Justice, and especially when we saw that it was Neil Gorsuch, that we knew that this decision was coming. We didn't know when, but we knew it was definitely coming, and we knew it would probably be a 5-4 decision, and that's what it was. The thing that was sad about the decision is that it overturned a ruling that was about 41 years old that said that that free riders weren't allowed, that people who belonged to unions had to pay their fair share fees, and now they've reversed that decision with the Supreme Court ruling. So, you know, there's public sector employees out there who belong to unions who can still reap the benefits of the collective bargaining agreements, the grievance procedure, you know, everything that comes with union membership and all of its benefits, and they don't have to pay dues to make sure that that happens. So it's definitely a huge swing in organized labor. I think you said it earlier in your comments, 50% of organized labor comes from public sector unions. So it'll be interesting to see in the next year, maybe even 3 to 5 years, what the decline is in union membership and public sector unions if these attacks continue and the effects of Janus in the future.
Let me ask you this, because some are saying that this is an opportunity for unions, especially the leadership of unions, to communicate much better with their membership. And I saw this one blog, and this is somebody from we've had on the show, UConn blog, Chris LaGrange. He does a lot of work. In fact, he does work with the IBEW up in New York, New Jersey area. He said, to unions who have poor communication structures, this is going to be a difficult feat. But for those who communicate on a regular basis, those members will know exactly what their dues pay for. And that's what this is all about. They're figuring, oh, you know, hey, I can just be a free rider here and get all the benefits. So if the leadership of the unions pounds that message in, they're going to say, well, of course I'm going to pay the dues, because the more I support my union, the better collective bargaining agreement I'm going to get. What's your reaction to that? And as far as speaking on the trades, what maybe you could tell us about the communication process there?
Well, the first thing I would say, and I would kind of use an analogy to go against it, I think all the unions communicate well with their members, and especially with the digital age now, with Facebook and Twitter and texting and email, the way to communicate with your members has never been greater. But the analogy that I would use is, imagine if you went, you know, to your staff there that works with you, or imagine if I went to my members and I said, hey, unless our local elected officials can prove to us that you're getting a bang for your buck and what your benefits are as taxpayers, you're not going to have to pay taxes anymore. Well, how many of those members would stop paying taxes? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like every April people complain about their taxes, and I understand it, but, you know, I want my kids to go to nice schools. I want to drive on nice roads. I want to have safe bridges to cross. I want, I want the economy to keep going, and that comes at a price. And I think that, but to say that the unions have to do a better job communicating with their members, I think I would disagree. And on the building trade side, I know locally and also across the state, I think we do an incredible job of communicating with our members, not only on this Janus decision and bracing them for what was coming, but also we do a great job communicating them about the importance of prevailing wage, project labor agreements, drug-free workplace, you know, the core issues that we're so good about. Not only do we educate our members, but we educate our members on how to educate others as well as they're out working in the community and dealing with local community leaders and customers, because I think that's all important, and I think that's the best way to communicate. So I think we do a really good job communicating with our members. I think we do a good job educating them. But like I said, I mean, think about this, how many taxpayers there are in the country right now. If you went to them and said, hey, if you feel like your government's not doing their job, you don't have to pay your taxes. Yeah. How many people would opt out of paying taxes?
Right. And I'll tell you, that's why the GOP is so strong when it comes to cutting taxes. They feel that overall we're not getting our money's worth, so they want to chop, chop, chop. The other side of that, people don't realize where the taxes go. I mean, if you want your trash picked up, or you want police protection, you want fire protection, you want a strong military, well, gee, guess what? That's your tax dollars right there.
That's right. That all costs money. That's exactly right. It's your tax dollars at work. You're right.
Yeah, well, we'll see what pans out here. I know there's going to be some scrambling. Again, labor was pretty much expecting this decision. We'll see what happens down the road.
Do you think anything happens here statewide? Like I saw that Pennsylvania has been urging their elected leaders to give protection rights in the state of Pennsylvania because of Janus, you just mentioned.
Yeah.
That piece of legislation you talked to going to Congress. Do you think anybody here rises up and we do anything here in the state of Ohio to protect the state government workers, or have you heard any talk about that, or is it still kind of too fresh?
I haven't heard anything yet. I think it's premature, but again, I could just throw this out. Elections matter. I mean, if we get the right people in there, yes, we will protect workers. But right now, with the makeup of the legislature, I don't know. Here's an answer to that one. Cordray Sutton. How about that one?
Elections have consequences, and far too many times what you gain at the negotiating table, you lose at the ballot box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been a push. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a push on Mike DeWine right now because he's been kind of wishy-washy on right to work.
I saw that. And one of the answers he gave up to the operating engineers a couple of months ago was similar to the answer that the governor of Michigan, gave, that we'll leave it up to the people and let them decide. And, that's kind of, I don't think that's what a lot of union members want to hear, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we had Cordray on the show a couple of weeks ago, when he was talking, he was pointing out what he did as AG the short time that he was attorney general in the state of Ohio. And a lot of it had to deal with making sure prevailing wage was intact on projects.
Intact and enforced. Exactly.
Yeah. That's a job, or one of the jobs of the attorney general. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get a wrap up on a couple of projects. And I know you had you want to do something on Dad's Day. There was an event that we want to talk about. It's all part of America's Workforce. Mike McCullough will be joining us, too. He's speaking on behalf of American Federation of Government Employees, Local 704, Region 5. That's a big chunk of the Midwest. He'll also be chiming in on the Janus case, as well as what's going on with our, oh my gosh, embattled EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt. Oh boy, lots to talk about there. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for communications and events needs, because BMA knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to help unions capture market share, conduct marketing campaigns, partake in political education, promote labor management, organize membership development, and support issues such as prevailing wage, project labor agreements, responsible contracting, and workforce training. They also plan and produce special events such as conventions, conferences, and anniversary celebrations. The BMA Media Group, marketing union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit bmamedia.com. That's www.bmamedia.com for all the labor tools you need to move your union into the future.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting, or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. This segment of the show brought to you by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment. 216-666-2185. You can find them online at ulagency.org. Let's go back to our live line and bring back Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. I forgot to mention once again, the Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. BuildCentralOH. Website is columbusconstruction.org. All right, talk to me about these fair contracting policies, something I believe the legislature is looking at. What do we know about this?
Yes, and also it affects us a lot here locally, and that's what we're dealing with here locally. We're trying to strengthen fair contracting language with the city of Columbus to try to keep a lot of out-of-state contractors from coming in here and performing work, because as you know, when out-of-state contractors come in, they bring out-of-state employees, and the wages and benefits that those employees earn are taken back home with them, and they're not spent here locally to help our community. So right now we're currently trying to work with the City of Columbus City Council and the Mayor's Office to kind of strengthen a few of the loopholes that are in their city contracting policies that they have written about 4 years ago. And we're also trying to work with the City of Columbus schools on implementing some fair contracting policies, because at this time they have none. And the reason we're putting a lot of attention on this right now is we're having an issue here in the city of Columbus where there's a lot of mechanical work that's starting to be done in renovation with a lot of the Columbus City schools. And there's four projects that have been recently undertaken that are in the construction phase right now, where a mechanical contractor has subcontracted a large portion of the mechanical work to be done in the schools to an out-of-state, out-of-town contractor to be performing that work. So we're doing investigations. We're putting all the facts together. While I'm educating the city school board and some of the members and some of the staff that works at Columbus City Schools on how fair contracting can stop this from happening, we're also, you know, doing the investigation on these four job sites where a lot of these out-of-town people are working, because I think the public, you know, has a right to know and would like to know. You know, we just talked about it earlier in the segment, how your tax dollars are being spent. I don't think that they would appreciate their tax dollars being spent on employing people from out of state.
Yeah. Is this because they have no policy, or are they doing something that should not be done? They're crossing the line on this.
I think there's two things. I think one is because they have no policy, and two, you know, without prevailing wage, there's no longer lowest and best. You can just, you know, sub the work out, you know, to whoever puts in the lowest price. And, you know, we've talked about the Janus decision. We've talked about Right to Work. And while it's fresh in West Virginia and Michigan and Indiana, Tennessee has been a Right to Work state a lot longer. So obviously, you know, those states, those wages have stagnated since they became Right to Work states. So you're seeing more and more construction employees from the South, because of all the work in Ohio, coming to Ohio to work because they can make higher wages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but still, again, it's not good for the local economy. You know, we've talked about this before on your show. you know, in the community that I live in, when we build an elementary school or a high school, I don't want a plumber from Tennessee doing the work on that job. I want a plumber from Marysville or Union County doing the work on that job, because I know he or she is going to coach, you know, my kids' soccer teams. You know, that's the person I'm going to go to church with. That's the person that's going to frequent the local restaurants and businesses and establishments, and the money and the wages he makes, he's going to spend in our community. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah. Oh, and we've seen so many of these projects, too, go sour. I remember, my gosh, when I started doing this show, it was a few years after they were building a dorm. I bring this story up so many times because it's always relevant. They were building a dorm at Ohio University. My daughter was there, going there at the time. And once again, it was a race to the bottom. They were bringing in people that had no idea how to even wire an electrical box. They were taking pictures. They went to the union facility next door, and they were taking photos of how to wire an outlet box and then using that to wire a dorm. This was a Dorsey, this was a like a $30 million project down there. Anyway, make a long story short, they did an investigation, like most of the time when building trades said we need to look at this because you're dealing with the state money here. And they kicked everybody out and they went union and they got it done right. And it's just like, it baffles me so many times this conversation comes up. And they said, oh, we can't pay the union wages. Well, look what you got, buddy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know. It's terrible. We see it, unfortunately, like I said, we're seeing it more and more with a lot of these states going right to work and a lot of their wages and benefits stagnating or even going down. You know, there's a lot more of this transient workforce that's coming to Ohio to do a lot of this work. And it's unfortunate because I feel like they're pretty much stealing from our communities, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you're right about that. They're all the states except for Pennsylvania are right-to-work states
in the
Midwest now. Let's move on to this Dad's Day shoot recap. What was that all about?
Oh, we had a great time. It was our fourth annual Dad's Day shoot. It's we all get together. We shoot sporting clay at Black Wing Shooting Supply in Delaware, which does a fantastic job putting on this event. So we usually shoot about 50 birds, which is about 10 stations. All the guys and ladies have a great time. It's a very fun event. The guides are great, you know, supplying all the guns, all the shells and everything, and also taking you through and doing some instructional stuff on the course so that way you don't, you know, go out and hang a goose egg. So that way you can actually shoot and hit a few birds and break some things up, which is always fun. And then at the end, we have a nice lunch. Hang out together, have a few adult beverages. You know, they don't let us have any of those adult beverages before we go shoot, but after we shoot, they let us crack a few of them open and hand out some prizes, and it's a great event. Walt Ingram from the Union Sportsman's Alliance came, brought some really nice, cool stuff to hand out, some Carhartt jackets, some coolers, some other stuff. Everybody appreciated that. We had quite a few people stop by. Clarence Mingo, who's running for county auditor, who's endorsed by the Columbus and Central Ohio Building Construction Trades, he stopped by. Danny O'Connor, who's running for Congress in the Congressional 12th, which has a special election August 7th. An early vote starts July 12th. He stopped by, talked to the guys, and also the House Minority Leader Fred Strayhorn shot with us and came by, spoke, and had lunch with us. So it was a great event, big turnout, a lot of people there. It was really, really enjoyable.
That's really good. Well, you mentioned the U.S. Sportsmen's Alliance. They've been on the show a number of times. I figured they had a connection to that one. That's a great organization. I know a lot of union members, especially the trades, are members of that that alliance. Good stuff.
Yeah, and Walt Ingram does a great job there, and he's always good to contact me and come by and participate and, you know, not only shoot with us and hang out with us and update us on what they're doing at the Sportsman's Alliance, but also to bring some gifts and stuff and some things that we can pass out to the members. And they're very appreciative of him and his efforts in helping us make it better. And this was our biggest one of the year. We had over 50 shooters this year. So it's a great event. We're looking at probably our donation to Dad's Day, which goes against to fight diabetes and to help diabetes research the National Building Trades. We're looking at our amount this year to donate. It's probably going to be close to $10,000. So not bad for a couple hours' work. We're pretty
not
happy
bad.
About it.
And a lot of fun, too. That's the other
a
part of it.
A lot of fun, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, we got a couple minutes left here. We had the 4th of July holiday yesterday. Next one, of course, is going to be Labor Day, and I after that, look out. It's political campaigning full speed ahead. Full speed ahead. I know there's a lot of it out there. I just want to, you know, let you know on our side here, we had mentioned Cordray on the show a couple of weeks ago. That's all archived on awfradio.com. It was a great interview. We had Kathleen Clyde, who's running for Secretary of State, who's all about voting. Zach Space, your friend Zach Space, was on the show.
Oh, yes.
And just a couple of days ago, we had the newest member of the Ohio Supreme Court, Mary DeGennaro, who I saw got a lot of good reviews from the building trades, and ACT Ohio, that's the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. They're all looking at her resume. She was born in Cleveland, grew up in the Youngstown area, and very strong union background. I mean, just about everybody in her family is a union member, and even her son is involved. His son is a teacher and is involved with the American Federation of Teachers. So, once again, it's important that we have elected leaders who know what unions do and where they want to take working people. And I know you, on a daily basis, are involved in that, educating a lot of people, especially lawmakers that don't understand what unions are all about, to make sure that they get an idea of what we're doing here. Any thoughts on moving forward here toward the midterm elections?
I think that we've been doing a tremendous job since the first of the year, as candidates have stepped up and ran in primaries and won primaries, and now they'll be running in the general to run for the state house, state senate. I think we've done a great job reaching out, doing outreach to them, educating them on, like you said, union issues and organized labor, but also educating them on the importance of having union members as their constituents, because they help, you know, maintain their communities, you know, because of the standard of living that they earn. And I think that that's one of the most important concepts and ideas that we can do, and that we can, when we reach out to some of these people who are either elected or are running for elected office. And I think that myself and a lot of our officers and members and our local leaders here have done a great job educating a lot of those people, and I think we'll continue to do that. And then, you know, like you said, it doesn't stop there. Once elections are over, you know, we've got to continue to update them, educate them, you know, implore onto them how important some of our issues are, and so that they can be advocates for us at the state house or in local governments. So that way that we can continue to protect the rights of workers throughout the state.
All right. We'll leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org is a website, Twitter handle, Build Central OH. Before you know it, football season right around the corner. Speaking of OH, huh?
Two a days, very soon. But one last question for you, Flash, I had to ask you. I saw that they've already taken down the LeBron banner. Is there any rumors that banner is at your house in your garage?
No rumors on that one.
No, okay. I just wanted to make sure. I didn't know what happened to it. And so just wanted to make sure. But they didn't waste any time on that, did they?
No, they didn't. They didn't. And, you know, we were prepped that the decision was going to come down on Tuesday. Instead, it came out on Sunday. And I don't know. There was a lot of people that figured he was going to go to Los Angeles. Hey, you know, look at the opportunities for him. I mean, he could become involved in the movie sets out there. You know, we'll see what happens. Here's my thoughts on it. He'll do his 4 years there and then come back to Cleveland and kind of retire here, maybe even buy the team. That's my hopes and dreams. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. It could happen. You're absolutely right.
So, you never know.
But I know. Well, have a great weekend, Flash, and thanks again. It was great talking to you. And like you said, in a month we'll be talking about Ohio State and Browns football. The Indians getting healthy and prepping for a playoff run.
There you go, buddy. You take care. Keep up the fight, brother.
All right. Thank you so much, Flash.
Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Quick break. Mike McCullough of the American Federation of Government Employees coming up next. He's going to talk about the Janus decision, and also Scott Pruitt, the embattled EPA director, right here on America's Workforce. Don't go away.